We've been talking to you about being a success. Anybody in the room want to be a success? Or do you like failing? Do you like losing? I hate losing. Do you hate losing? I don't think you hate losing as bad as I hate losing. I hate to lose. It's so got so bad that I don't even play any sports that I can't win. Like, for instance, I never bowled with my dad. Anybody like bowling? But I never bowled with my dad because he could always beat me. I like to win. You say, well, that's just childish. No, I think it's good in the spirit. You need to learn how to win. Does God want you to win? Does he make you more than a conqueror? Did he make you an overcomer? What is that? Winning. Winning in life. And God doesn't want you to fail. So someone, you know, just clear it up. I think in sports you ought to lose gracefully to their face. And then some of you, I need to stir you up a little bit. I'm just telling you that in the spirit realm, you need to get the attitude and the mentality of, I win. I'm not going to get good at losing. I'm not going to get good at failing because God wants you to win. Everybody say, I'm a winner. And did God want Joshua to win? He told him, if you'll do what I said, you'll be a great success, and everywhere you go, you'll prosper. Amen? God did not want Joshua to fail, and he did not want the children of Israel to fail. And so we can go back. We're looking at Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 9, and you know, how did this all start? I'm going to read that in just a second. It started because the first group of Israelites, when they went to get their promises, when they went to get the promised land, they failed. Even though God delivered them out of Egypt, y'all remember? God delivered them out of Egypt with signs and wonders. Remember, they came out with silver and gold. There wasn't any sick or feeble among them. They walked across the Red Sea on dry ground. I'm telling you, God delivered them with a mighty hand. And then he sent them into the promised land. What he said, this is yours. And they went into the promised land, and it was just like he said. It was a land that flowed with milk and honey. I mean, the grapes were so big. The figs were so big. It was all awesome and wonderful, except for the children of Israel saw walled cities, and they saw giants. And they came back, and they gave a report. Y'all remember the port. Report, Numbers 13:33. It said, in our own sight we're as grasshoppers, and so are we in theirs. And so the way they thought of themselves, how they think of themselves, is what caused them to be defeated. It wasn't the walled cities. It wasn't the giants. It was what was between their ears. It was what was between their ears. It caused them to lose because they said, we're nothing but grasshoppers. How many of you know the giants, and they really were giants, they were big. How many of you know giant squish bugs? And that's what happened. But were they really bugs? They weren't grasshoppers. They said, in our own sight, we're nothing but a grasshopper. And then so are we in theirs. And the bad thing was, they not only the 10 spies believed they were grasshoppers, they got everybody else to believe they were grasshoppers, except for two, Joshua and Caleb. Do I got any Joshua and Calebs in the room? Because what did Joshua and Caleb come back and say? He said, they're bread for us. Their defense has departed from them. All right? And so the truth was, they thought differently. Joshua and Caleb thought differently than everybody else. They thought what God thought about them. And so we saw here, God immediately tells Joshua, in order for you to inherit the promises, you got to meditate on who I tell you you are. And you're going to find that in the Word of God. What does the Bible say? As a man thinks in his heart, and what you think about yourself is what you become. And then he talked to Joshua about speaking the word of God. And so I want to pick up in Joshua chapter 6, verse 10. This is Joshua, and they're getting ready to go in and possess the promised land the second go around. And he had learned about the words of their mouth, and he told them, the people, about the words of their mouth. So Joshua 6:10. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, Neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until of the day I bid you to shout, then you shout. In other words, the first group said we were grasshoppers and they got what they said. And now I don't want anybody to say anything until I tell you to shout. And then in verse 16, he said, and it came to pass on the seventh time when the priest blew the trumpet, Joshua said to the people, shout. For the Lord has given you the city. Amen. And so that release of words caused God to be able to release his power. And you all know what happened. Jericho fell down. And God told Joshua, let's go back to Joshua chapter 1. We're going to read verses 5 through 9. And I want you to get this. I want you to be thinking about this because God wants you to succeed. God wants you to succeed. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a success. How are we going to get there? How are we going to get our promised land? Now see, Joshua and Caleb, it was real land. For you, it's the promises of God that are yes and amen. That's your promised land. And so let's figure out how to get it. Are you all ready? Joshua 1:5, there shall not be any man able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, is God with you? As I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I will not fail you. Can God fail you? Can he forsake you? No. Be strong and of good courage, for under this people you'll divide an inheritance that I swear unto the fathers to give them. Only be strong, very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Turn not from the right hand to the left, and you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law, or the word of God, shall not depart out of your mouth. So we got to keep it in our mouth. And you got to meditate therein day and night. How long is that? All day, every day, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then you'll make your way prosperous and then you'll have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So we've been looking at meditating the word. We've been looking at speaking the word. Today we're going to look at doing the word. When you think about, because they thought of themselves wrong. I've said this to you over and over again. God got them out of Egypt, but he could not get Egypt out of them. And you and I have been delivered from the world. We got to make sure the world is not still in us. We've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Now we have to walk in the light. The Bible says the word of God is a light unto our feet, a lamp unto our feet, and a light unto our path. Amen. And if you continue in his word, that we'll be set free. But we need to walk in what God has told us to walk in. And it starts with meditating. And so we meditate the word of God. And then we speak the word of God. If you can, when you think something, then you'll begin to talk something. And after you talk something, then you'll begin to do something. And after you do something, you'll begin to have something. And we need all of it. In order to get to the success, we need to have all of this working in our life. We need to be meditating the word of God. We need to be talking the word of God. And finally, we need to be doing the word of God. And that's what I want to talk to you about. But let's run into it by, let's start with James chapter number 1, verse 26. Reminding you that this all goes together. We separate it for teaching, but it all meditating, speaking, and doing, and then walking in that success, all go hand in hand. It all goes together. Anybody in this room ready to be a success? Continued success? How many want the highest and the best for your life? Amen. Glory to God. It's just something God wants for you, and yet there are some things, some conditions that you and I meet that, and we walk in that we can have them. James 1:26. If any man among you seem to be religious or spiritual and doesn't bridle his tongue, he deceives his own heart. This man's religion is in vain. So as we walk, get ready to go into the doing, I wanted to remind you, it is just that important about your words that if we don't bridle it, anybody know what a bridle is? It's on a horse, right? And so they put that metal thing in the horse's mouth so that they can steer it. And it's on his tongue. And so that's what God is saying to us. You and I have to learn to bridle our tongue. We have to learn to bridle our tongue. And if we don't, then our religion or our spirituality is in vain or it's worthless. And so I want you to see that as we, it all goes together as we look at James chapter 1, verse number 22. James 1:22, King James Version. But if you be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself, own selves. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. How many know if hearing is important? How many know hearing is where you start? You got to hear before you can ever do. So hearing's important. But it says, if you're not a doer of the word and you're a hearer only, you deceive your own selves. If any man hear the word and be not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, and he beholds himself and goes his way, and straightway he forgets what manner of man he was. But whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So let's look at this in the New Living Translation. James 1:22 in the New Living. It says, don't just listen to God's word. How many of you know listening is important? But it says, don't just listen to God's word, but you must do what it says. And so just let's stop and talk about that. It's good to hear. You know what? I am so grateful you're here. I was grateful the first service was here. I'm grateful you're here. I'm grateful the people online. I'm grateful for the people that are watching and will watching. It is good that you hear the word of God, but that's not enough. It is just the beginning. I don't want you to stop hearing, but hearing is just the opening. I mean, it's just starting. And it says, don't just listen to God's word. You have to do what it says. Otherwise, you are fooling yourselves. So what is this like? So it's when you hear a scripture. I picked on the men first service, and so I think just to keep it fair, I'll pick on the husbands again second service. You know, there's lots of scripture about husbands treating your wives correctly. In Ephesians, the 5th chapter, it says for husbands to love your wives like Christ loved the church. Is everybody here? The women should at least be excited right now. And so as a man, as a husband, I hear that. And so how many of you know that's good and it's truth? That I, as a husband, should love my wife, Christ loves the church. And so when I hear that, I think, well, he loves the church unconditional. He loves me first. He loves me when I'm unlovely. Praise the Lord. Oh, then you start getting into it a little bit, and you think, oh, that's a lot. And then you think, well, I can't do that on my own, because when she's unlovely to me, I ought to be unlovely back. But that's not what the scripture says. And so if I'm going to be a doer of the word, then I've got to do what Jesus does for me. In other words, I got to put it into practice whether I want to or not. And then the Bible says in 1 Peter 3, I believe it's verse 8, it talking to the husbands, he says that I'm supposed to treat my wife in a certain way. And if I don't treat her with the love and respect that I'm supposed to, then the Bible says my prayers will be hindered or cut off. I don't know about the rest of you guys, but I need my prayers to work. Especially the way I drive. I really need my prayers to work. I need my prayers to work all the time. When I talk to God, I need him to be able to be there for me. And so I don't have an hour to repent. So I need to make sure, so I know that scripture, and so I've got to treat her right. Only she can tell you if I treat her right, but I think I'm pretty good up here in front of everybody to say I treat her pretty good. I'm not perfect, but I treat her. I do my best to love her like Christ loves the church. And so what does that make me? It makes me a doer of that word. And therefore, I'm in line for the benefit, and my prayers are not hindered, and my prayers are not cut off. And because I love her like Christ loves the church, or I endeavor to do that, then I'm in line for the blessings that come along with that. And part of that is her submitting unto me as unto the Lord. And so I can't make you be a doer of the word, and you can't make me be a doer of the word. And God can't even make you be a doer of the word. But in order for the word to work, you and I have to do it. It's great to hear. And it's great to say amen and pop the clutch and woohoo, good preaching to God, preacher. I love all that. But what I'd rather you do, I want you to still do all that, but I want you to go home and do it. I want you to, on Monday morning, I want you to do it. It's not enough to shout about it or be content with it on Sunday and say that was good preaching. If you're not practicing it, the Bible says you're deceiving yourself. You know, the Lord told me one time, he said, the hardest people you'll ever have to help are those who are self-deceived. And in two places right here in James 1, it says, if you don't bridle your tongue, and if you're a hearer only and don't do the word, you deceive yourself. What does that mean? You hear it and you think, that's good enough, I'm cool. I got it. I heard it. I read it. I did my devotional. I got this. No, you just started this. What you got to do is do it. Because when you do the word, it then changes you and puts you in line for to make your way prosperous and for you to have good success. You say, I hear some people say, well, Pastor Mark, you know, I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. I'm not talking about perfection here. I'm talking about doing the word and then that word working on you and changing you from glory to glory, ever into his likeness and image. For you to say, I'm just a human being and I can't do it, it's impossible. No, you got a Holy Ghost helper on the inside of you. You got a teacher. You got someone who will show you how to walk the word out, how to do it. But you and I, when we hear something, we've got to immediately put it into practice. I told the first service this, and I want to do it, and I'm gonna work on doing it. I would rather you almost get one scripture a week and just work it. Still do your devotionals, still read your Bible. You know, some of you may read a book a day or a book a week, or, you know, or some people are going, what? Or whatever you read, a chapter, whatever you read. But if you just had one scripture and you worked it all week, you just worked it all week and pulled different things out that week and meditated different words during the day of one, by the end of the week, what are you doing? Then you're able to do. Because see, as a man thinks that scripture, you're thinking it, you're meditating it, you begin to talk it. And as you talk it, then you begin to do it. And when you begin to do it, you'll begin to have it and the promises that are associated with it. It's real important because God wants you to be successful. We as the church, as the body of Christ, are supposed to be a light that every people can see so they can see how good God is. And you and I know he's really good. Y'all know he's really good. Let's go on in New Living. We were in verse 22. Let's read it again. James 1:22. But don't listen to God. Don't just listen to God's word, but you got to do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. Now, hold on before we go on. How many of y'all know what you look like? Come on. You do know what you look like, don't you? I mean, how many of you know if somebody called on the phone, describe yourself? You could at least tell everybody what color hair you got. I mean, what your nose looks like. This is not a trick, y'all. You should be, because if you can't even describe you, please don't show up when I need you to describe a crime scene or something, all right? Because if you can't even describe you, we can't trust you, all right? But the Bible is basically saying, you know what you look like. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror, verse 24. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. Verse 25, but if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, the word of God, and you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. In the King James, it says bless your work. But it says just basically it's obedience. God will bless you for doing it. Verse 26, if you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. And so I just wanted you to see, because God told Joshua to meditate, to speak, and to do. Meditate, speak, and to do. And so if you meditated and spoke, but you never got to the doing, because see, all of it works together. If I meditate of who I am, You got to see yourself. You know, not to use sports all the time, but that's kind of what I like. I know teams that have certain trouble beating other teams, or they have a mental block, and so they bring somebody in to change their thinking. It's not their skill. It's not anything. It's they've got a block, and so they have to get rid of that block. Some people in life, your success is being blocked by what you think of yourself. And then if you start talking right about who you are, then it'll begin to change it. But then the third step in that is you got to do the word. You got to put it into practice. And when you do, what happens? What happens? Success begins to come. We look at this a lot when I teach on faith in James chapter 2. I'm going to read this out of the King James. James chapter 2, verse number 14. It says, what does it profit, my brethren, if a man says he has faith and has not works, or that word works would be better translated, corresponding actions, can his faith save him? Verse 17, even so faith, if it has not corresponding actions, is dead, being alone. Verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without corresponding actions is dead also. So we look at your faith. How many know that faith comes by hearing? And it's like things that you need from God, using your faith. Faith comes by hearing. Faith is released by saying, come, but faith is activated by doing. Faith comes by hearing. Faith is released by saying, but faith is activated by doing. And so this is separate than what God is talking to Joshua about, but it's really the same principle. And if you understand even your faith, when you're believing God for something, there is the hearing and the meditating, there is the saying to release, but then there's got to be corresponding actions. Here, a lot of times people have missed the example in James chapter 2 and made it the doctrine. There's an example that the Spirit of God is giving, but people made it the doctrine. It has to do with those that are poor. And so how many of you know we're supposed to take care of the poor? We're supposed to bless the poor, but this is an example here. It's not the doctrine. And so let's look at it. I always often tell everybody, you know, I have no better example. I grew up in Illinois, and during the winter, it could get very cold. So let's say it's January, and we lived on this blacktop road in the middle of the country, surrounded by cornfields, and let's say someone's car broke down. And I don't know why they would be, but even though it's winter, I've done it before, because I'm just running to the store, I won't put on a coat, and, you know, you're just going to run in, and up there, even in zero, you get used to the cold, and it's not a big deal, unless you got to stand outside for 20 minutes. But you're not planning to stand outside, so you threw a t-shirt on and some shorts. Well, if somebody was outside my house, and they came up on the door, and they had shorts and a t-shirt on, and it's zero outside, and they knocked on the door, and I looked at them, and they're like, brr, I'm cold. And I said, be warm. And I shut the door and walked away. How many of you know I didn't help them? Corresponding actions, the nice thing to do, and now that I'm from the South, I would have done it because I'm polite now. And so what I would have done was I would have given them a coat. And then the hungry person, you know, they come to the door and they're like, you know, you got a cheeseburger and some fries, you know, right here, and you're chowing down. And they're like, oh, I haven't eaten in days. And I like, be fed. And so be fed. And I shut the door. How many of you know that doesn't help them? And so the Bible is teaching about your faith that you got to put some action with it. You got to actually put, you know, if you're believing for prosperity and you're believing God for a better job and better things, and you're not a tither and you're not a giver, you're just talking. You're just praying. I lost everybody, so I'll say it again. If you're really believing for God's prosperity and you're not obeying the written word of God, you're just talking. You're wasting your time. Because there are conditions to be met with God's presence. Oh, you can work your fingers to the bone, and you can do all that. Or, you know, when it comes to love walk, you're believing God for something. Pastor Ron has been doing a good job on Wednesday night teaching on this. But you know what? If the Lord, while you're praying, you believe that you receive something, and he deals with you about an offense you're in and tells you to get, you know, take care of it, if you refuse to take care of it, if you won't be a doer of that word and of that work, then you're in trouble. We can't pick which parts of the word we want to do. We have to do the whole counsel of the word of God. And when the Spirit of God is dealing with you about something, you and I have to do it. Amen? Everybody say, shout, I'm a doer. Come on, say it again. Say, I'm a doer. Are you going to do it? Come on, just do it. Just do it, right? I mean, it's the way God works. He needs you to do something. You know, just like Jesus' first miracle. You all remember when he turned water into wine. What did Mama Mary say? What did Mama Mary say? Whatever he says, Just do it. Nike, right? Come on. All y'all remember that. Just Nike, right? Just do it. Just do it. You got to do it. It's not enough to hear it. It's not enough to say some stuff. You do need to do all that. You can't stop hearing and you can't stop talking, but you got to put it into action, because the action is what releases the power when it comes to your faith and when it comes to the word. These things are written down for us so that and then do them. God was telling Joshua, you got to meditate, you got to talk, and you got to do. And when you do, then you will make your way successful. You'll have a good success, and you make you. See, it's you make your way. That's not a misprint. You make your way prosperous when you do the word of God. Yes, God's doing it, but if you and I don't do the word, then there's no way for God to come in with his power and help us out. All right, we got to get moving. Let's turn to John chapter 14. Jesus gave us some examples. Y'all here? Everybody good? Amen. John chapter 14. Just quickly look at these. Just to give you some illustration of what Jesus said about doing. John 14, 15, King James. If you love me, keep or do my commandments. Verse 21, he that has my commandments and keeps them or does them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Verses 23 and 24. Jesus answered and said to them, if a man love me, he will keep my words or do my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode in him. He that loves me not keeps not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. So the Father is saying to us through Jesus, he said, if you say you love me, then you're going to do what I ask you to do. That is the proof of our love for God, that we keep his commandments and keep his word. And then let's go back a chapter and look at chapter 13, just to give you some illustration here. John chapter 13. Jesus, this is where Jesus washed their feet. And verily, verily, I say to you, the servant's not greater than his Lord, neither he that sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. In other words, Jesus said, you saw me wash everybody's feet. You saw me serving one another. Then in order for you to be content, in order for you to receive the blessing, then my example I gave to you, I need you to follow it. In other words, in the body of Christ, he needs us to serve one another. He needs us to put it into action. It's good to hear a sermon on serving and being a blessing, and we're all part of the body of Christ, and not everybody's the eye or everybody's the ear or the nose, but everybody is a part and everybody do their part. It's great to hear that and go, woohoo, that's a good, I get that. But what does he want you to do? He wants you to do it. He wants you to really serve one another. He wants you to be in helps ministry, and he wants you to help one another and not just come and hear only. Because if you come and hear only and you hear that and then you don't put it into action, the Bible says you deceive yourselves. And so in order for this to work, what I'm trying to do and what the Lord's trying to do is get rid of your frustration. You know who the most frustrated people I know are? Those that hear the word and they know what's available for them, but they never grab a hold of it. And part of not grabbing a hold of it is that they're not doing the word. Because you can't grab a hold of the word of God unless you're doing the word of God. And so when you hear something is available and you can't get to it and walk in it, it's very frustrating. But God doesn't want you to be frustrated. He wants you to meditate the word of God. He wants you to talk the word of God. And he wants you to do his commandments or do the word so that you will make your way successful and he'll be able to bless everything you put your hand to. John chapter 15, verses 10 through 14. It's talking about keeping his commandments and abiding in his love. And verse 14 says, you are my friends if you do whatever I have commanded you. Revelation 22:14 says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gate of that city. All I'm trying to say is the word of God is full of doings. The word of God is full of you and I. It's full of action. And when we hear something, we have to do something. And so if we hear it and then don't put it into practice in our life, that's like walking in love. Walking in love. You hear a lot about walking in love around here. And how many of you know your faith works by love? And while you stand praying, if the Lord deals with you about forgiving someone and you're not able to do it or you don't feel like doing it and you don't do it, then the promise is not going to come to you. Not because God has changed, not because God is playing favorites, because you and I didn't meet the condition of the word. And when we put it into practice, how many of you know he'll help us do it? There's a lot of things in the word of God that God asked us to do that I didn't seem to have the ability or even the want to sometimes, to do. I don't know if you know this, and I don't know why I'm telling all my business. I'd really like tell Dan's business or, Cheryl's business. I can tell somebody else's business. Travis needs his business sold, but I'll tell you mine. When I was very young, I was very passive-aggressive. You know what passive-aggressive means? It means that I won't tell you to your face that I'm going to get you, but I will work it in the back circles to make sure that you get what's coming to you. And you may never have known that it came from me, but you will get what was coming to you. And I was good at it. Well, when I came back to the Lord, got filled with the Holy Ghost, this has got to change. Not only should everybody not get back what I think should be coming to them, I got to forgive them and then bless them and act like nothing's wrong. That was hard. It's hard. And I didn't think it's fair. And, you know, if you study forgiveness, you know, a lot of times people don't want to forgive people because they think they're letting them off the hook. But forgiveness is not for them, it's for you. And I figured out a long, long time ago, I need my faith to work all the time. And really, the Lord delivered me from being passive aggressive. Now I'm just aggressive aggressive. Tell you what's up. In love. Hallelujah. But you understand, there's a lot of things in the Word. You're like, I can't do that. That's not my personality. Your personality is irrelevant. The Word of God is the Word of God, and He will help you. But you've got to even take the step. It always reminds me of the man with the shriveled hand. You remember him? And where Jesus was preaching in the synagogue, and the man, you know, he was fighting with the folks about it, you know, should he heal on the Sabbath? And there was a man with a withered hand. And Jesus told him to stand up, and he said, told him to move his hand. But he couldn't move his hand. If he could move his hand, he would have already done it. There's a lot of things in your life that if you could have fixed, you'd already fixed it. If there's some things going on in your family, maybe it's messed up. Maybe all the folks in your family, this and that's going on. And you got so much chaos going around all the time. But listen, if you'll do what God said to do concerning with the word of God, then he'll fix it. He'll get in and do it. Because this man had a withered hand. And I used to always see this man when Jesus said, stretch forth your hand. I saw him stretch forth his elbow and then his hand popped open. But that's not what happened. Jesus said, stretch forth your hand. And so he began to do something that he couldn't do. And when he began to obey, when he say obey, what happened? He just did it. And when he did the word, because the word was, stretch forth your hand. That was the word to that man. And so that was, faith begins where the will of God is known. The word said, stretch forth your hand. And he couldn't stretch forth his hand, but he obeyed anyway. He didn't move his elbow. He began to move his hand. And when he began to do something that he couldn't do, the power of God came in, and that man's hand was every bit whole. And the same thing with the written word of God for you, or when God speaks to your heart. If he tells you to do something, then you do it. Even if you don't want to do it, even if you don't feel like doing it, but you've got to do. That goes back to the word that the Lord gave us right before we started the message. Even if you, whenever the Lord speaks to you and tells you to do something, even if you don't feel like doing it, how many of you know, do you always feel like doing it? Do y'all, tomorrow morning, are y'all going to feel like going to work? Let's talk to the teenagers. Y'all going to feel like going to school tomorrow? No. You don't feel like it. You don't always feel like it, but you do it because you have to. But with the things of God, you do it because you have to, but because you want to. And when you do it, the power of God will kick in and assist you. You're not doing it on your own. The Holy Ghost will help you. And when you're a doer of the word, then everything begins to change. This is very familiar, but and it'll kind of with everything going on. Before we leave today, we'll pray for those in Florida. We prayed first service, and we'll pray. I know some of you have family and friends that are down there. But I want to talk to you about this concerning your life, your spiritual life. I want you to look with me in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21, and then we're going to look at 24. You all know this account. Jesus gave this account of the two different houses. Most of you know this, but we're going to look at it in reference to what we're talking about. Matthew 7, 21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Verse 24, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine, is it important to hear? Absolutely. And does them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house on a rock. So I'm just going to look at you all, and I believe I'm looking at wise people. Not only do you come and you hear, not only do you read scripture, not only do you listen to things, it's good to hear, but you also do it. Come on, everybody say, I'm a doer. So we're doing it, right? And so God could look at the doers and he says to them, you're wise people. And when you do it, you build your house or your life on a sure foundation. He calls it the rock. You build your house on a sure foundation. Well, then you look down at verse number 26. It said, everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house on sand. Now listen to me. You've got to look at this different. Let's just say everybody in the USA today was all in one big church. And everybody heard the same anointed word, the same scriptures, everything exactly the same. And in that group of people, there are two groups. There are those that are going to do it, and there are those that are only going to hear it. Now, I believe at Cornerstone Word of Life Church, we got nothing but doers, and don't tell me any different, all right? Because this is real stuff. And you can see the natural weather and understand the natural weather and understand, then take that over into the spirit and see how really important this is. And the only difference between these two groups of people is those that heard and did the same and those that heard and did nothing. Heard the same word, heard the same scriptures, everything exactly the same. And then on the flip side of it, then let's look at verse 25. Back up one. And the rains descended. Verse 27 says, and the rains descended. Verse 25 says, and the floods came. Verse 27 says, and the floods came. Verse 25 said, and the winds blew. Verse 27 says, and the winds blew. Verse 25 says, and they beat upon the house. Verse 27 says, they beat upon the house. It's not a different storm. I used to believe that the children of God that did the word got a lesser storm. They don't. It's the exact same. They heard the exact same word, and they get the exact same storm. Why? Why do storms come anyway? Spiritual storms. I preach a message called, Why Do Storms Come? And I see three storms in the Bible that the Lord gave me to explain why storms come. Anybody ever heard of Jonah? You remember Jonah? Why did his storm come? Because he disobeyed God. How many know hanging out in a whale's belly, man, whew, that's stinky stuff. And so he was in there and, you know, finally got vomited out, you know. But what's the cure for that storm? You have to repent. You got to repent and then you got to obey. Another kind of storm. Because a lot of people, especially in our circles, if someone's having a hard time, the first thing they'll ask them is, well, are you in disobedience? Are you not obeying God? That's what they all think storms come from, is disobeying God. And then you got the flip side, though. You got Jesus, he was preaching a crusade, and he told his disciples to get in a ship and go to the other side. So the word of God says, go to the other side. So how many of you know these disciples are in and then if the will of God? Because the head of the church told them to go to the other side. And then if you study that out, the Bible says and a lot of these were fishermen. How many of you know they wouldn't get in a fishing boat and go to the other side in the middle of a storm? And if you read it, the Bible says a tempest. And really, if you study it out, it's a demonically inspired storm. So here they're in the will of God, and a demonically inspired storm comes to try to kill them. And Jesus comes walking on the water, and he says what to it? Everybody say, peace, be still. He spoke to the storm, and what happened? It obeyed. So when you're obeying God and a trouble comes up, you use your authority. When you're obeying God and a storm comes up, you use your authority and it has to obey you. And then there's another storm. Remember, the third kind was, what's his name? Paul, that's who it is. Paul, remember he got on that ship? And he told the centurion, he said, I perceive this ship is going, we're going to have a mess on our hands. We're going to lose the ship and we might even lose our lives. And how many know the centurion didn't listen to him? And so I tell people this, a lot of times storms come because of the other people that surround us. How many know you can't get rid of all the folks? Sometimes other people around us cause storms in our life. Sometimes as parents, we cause storms for our children. Sometimes our children cause storms for us. Sometimes your boss causes a storm. Sometimes you cause a storm for your boss. Sometimes a storm will happen at Walmart because there's rude people. Sometimes, I mean, just storms come. And in that one, what happened? Well, they got delivered. And this is what I know about all three storms. God will deliver you out of them all. Maybe in those cases you need to figure out the source, but the end result is God will deliver you out of them all. So it's not God's desire for a storm to consume you in any way, shape, form, or fashion. But a lot of times, if we'll just do the word, same rain, same floods, same wind, but the person who did the word is the one who prevails. How are you going to build your spiritual house so that you prevail when the storm comes? In the natural. You know, I've been in different places, like earthquakes. I know there's lots of natural disasters going on. But the Bible did prophesy that in the last days, there would be stuff like that. Doesn't mean it has to get any of us, but he said there'd be stuff like that. But a lot of those houses, I remember when I was in Chile, the third largest earthquake that ever has been, for the magnitude of the earthquake, everything was pretty good. But they built to code so that when the ground moves, because it moves all the time there, that the buildings would be okay. A much lesser earthquake in Haiti caused hundreds of thousands of lives. Why? Because they weren't built right. They weren't built to protect them. All I'm saying is for our life spiritually, you can be built to be protected if you'll do the word. Don't be just a hearer only, but be a doer of the word. God wants to help you. So I'm going to pray for you so you'll do better if you stand. Everybody lift one hand to heaven and receive this prayer. Father God, we just come in the name of Jesus. And Father, I just thank you for this church. I thank you for this congregation. I thank you, Father, as their pastor. I pray for them that they, if there's anything in their life that they're not doing, any revelation they have, they're not doing, anything you've asked them to do that they're not currently doing, I ask you to reveal it to them again so that they can begin to do it, so they can build their house upon the rock. And so, Father, we promise to be doers of your word and not hearers only. Help each and every one. Help me. Help them. Help us to be doers of the word so that we can be established on the rock, so when the wind and the rain and the floods come to our life, that it won't be able to touch us. And so I pray for increase for every person here. Father, I know it's your will for them to be successful in every area of their life, in their career, at school, whatever their activities are in life, that they would be successful wherever they go. And now, Father, we turn our faith towards our brothers and sisters in Florida and concerning the weather. And we speak to that storm and we command it to go. And we also just ask you to protect each and every person. We ask you, Father, to spare lives. We ask you to supernaturally protect them. We believe the angels camp round about them for our families, for our friends, for those that we know, and for those that we do not know. And we thank you, Father, that whatever the devil meant for evil, that you will turn it around and bless it. We thank you, Father, that you'll work it together for their good and you'll help them. We know you didn't cause this storm. We know you're not the author of destruction, but we ask you, Father, to intervene. And we ask you to protect each and every one of them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.